of Jesus, amen. For seven consecutive church services, we've heard the news from God through St. Luke about the festivities that were leading up to the Christ child here in this church. And oh, the events, what joy, what gladness that a world Savior is being brought not just to Judea, but also to us. Back then, everyone was buzzing with all kinds of news. Old Zechariah and Elizabeth were going to have a child. They would have joy and gladness, and many would rejoice at his birth because he would turn their hearts and make the people ready and prepared for the Lord. Even their neighbors and relatives, when they heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to Elizabeth, rejoiced with her. There was more joy to come after the news of a birth of a son and before he handed out cigars. Zechariah needed 9 months to be silent and to think on God's word because at first he didn't believe it. But God had moved him to trust his good news, and finally he was permitted to speak, and he opened his mouth praising God with the words of what the church calls the Benedictus. These were times of great joy. John, his son, would go before the Lord. Luke tells us that he would prepare his ways to give the knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of sin. There was more good news. Mary received some that God would come and visit her with a Christmas gift, the birth of a baby boy, fathered from above. And you will call his name Jesus. And Mary breaks out into the Magnificat, praising God and saying, "My soul rejoices in God my Savior, who will have mercy and rescue us from our sin." And a couple of weeks later, Elizabeth and Mary get together, and they're given a wonderful surprise. John was inside of Elizabeth, Jesus inside of Mary. And when she greets her cousin, the baby John leaps inside of her womb at the voice of Mary, who was carrying to her her Lord. There was great gladness for both of them. And Elizabeth exclaims, "My Lord has come to me." But not all are filled with Christmas joy and gladness at this time in the story. Not yet. In today's chapter, Joseph is, for the right reasons, going to do the wrong thing. He was engaged to be married. Vows were spoken. The wedding date was set. Invitations for the baby shower were going out. Wait, what? You invited friends to a baby shower? Mary is pregnant. It's not Joseph's child. Matthew records that before they came together in the intimate way left for marriage, she was found to be with child. But Joseph hadn't heard this news yet. Shock, sadness, shame. There goes Christmas. Cancel the wedding. Vows before God were broken. God and men were sad. The only logical thing, she's committed adultery. What now? Matthew tells us Joseph was a godly man, a great example of a husband and a father of faith and a Christian brother. He knows the Lord's words and he lives according to that word, and he will not listen to any other word. So there's only two choices. Neither one are good options. Under God's law, in the case of adultery, God's law, Deuteronomy 24, he could divorce her, and that would be the quieter, the kinder, the softer use of the law. Or he could expose her publicly, because purity laws were broken before God in her case. There would be shame. And if brought all the way to the extreme, she would be stoned. What happens next is very stunning. But it always amazes us. Every time we hear the Christmas story, it should be fresh and new and make us glad, because God intervenes when we're confronted with what seems like two wrongs. Matthew writes, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream and says, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of God.'" The miracle, the virgin birth, fathered from above. And so the angel comes to the rescue with God's word and shows Joseph an option that's outside of the law. And this is where God's grace continues to flow. Take Mary as your wife. She's done nothing wrong. She will bring forth a son, and you'll call his name Jesus, for he will be the saver of all of his people from their sins. Those words do not roll off of our tongues as quickly as they ought. We're quick, like Joseph, to make a knee-jump reaction. It's easier to condemn someone for their sin and trouble. So God intervenes for you, for me, in our relationships. Well, this is an entirely different turn of events. In a bad situation, God should always amaze us. Maybe there will be joy and gladness. Maybe we can have a Merry Christmas. Maybe this news will travel and make Judea glad. Here we have a very powerful and important theme, not only in Matthew's gospel, but in Mark, and in Luke, and in John, and in every page where Christ is present. And not just there, but in our everyday Christian lives, that in order for sinful human beings to know the way of God and His Christ, God's Word and His Spirit, and the Spirit always makes His home in the Word of Christ, that Word must always be revealed to us, told to us, explained to us. Sin, a dirty conscience, temptation, the devil, the proverbial between a rock and a hard spot, the grave, pick a trouble. They can all be replaced with tidings of great joy from heaven above to earth it comes to us in the gospel. Jesus is the Saver, and He always brings His word of life into every situation and circumstance we experience. His name is Emmanuel. He is God with us. The gospel always answers the trouble that the law can't remedy. For with God, nothing is impossible. When God provides for Joseph, we learn that He also does for you and me and every Christian. When we're faced with hard times, two sad choices, the gospel always speaks clearly, so that we can have a satisfied conscience, be decisive, one foot in front of the other, and live with faith toward God. With a clear conscience and a direct word from Him. What seems impossible to us, God is very capable of turning the right into a wrong, and He tells us so. Misery, He replaces it with joy. Heartache, He replaces it with love and healing. Sin with forgiveness, death with life, darkness with light, unbelief with faith, sadness with joy, death with resurrection. And we hear that all of our life as Christians. Everything that's broken and out of place can now have purpose and be filled with the gospel, so we're able to be made glad by God, and faith rejoices. This happens over and over again in the Christmas account. We've heard it, and we hear it every year. Zechariah and Elizabeth were old and they had no child from marriage. God took care of that. He had an app for that. In the end, they both believed and they rejoiced. The teenage girl was going to be the mother of God. God will take care of that. So she says, "Let it be to me according to thy word, these things that you have said." We get to hear faith speak to God so we can speak to Him the same words. Jesus was brought before John before either one was born. God takes care of those things for us so that John leaps in his womb, his mother's womb, for joy that his Lord has been brought to him. You and I, we have our stories of God's great reversal from sin to sadness in a host of ways that if we were to count them, they would be more than the stars of heaven and the sands of the seashore. And the ultimate is being gathered all above together with the Lord on the last day, just as He promises. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophetic word. They knew it was coming. Even Isaiah wrote, "A virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel." God is never an abstraction or a personal thought or an emotion or a feeling only unique to you and not to others. He is, as His name says, God with us. God in the flesh. God in water, God in bread and wine, God in words of men, God with us where two or more are gathered in His name. God is the Savior. He's the Emmanuel. And so, Joseph has good news as well. And we know what to expect on Christmas Eve. We're told this not by an angel, but by another messenger. As we are today, here in this place, right now, listen again, Jesus will save His people from their sin. That's the reason for Mary in Merry Christmas. And then Joseph, being awakened from sleep, did exactly as the angel commanded and took him as Mary took her as his wife. And he did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. God grant you and me the same faith, same word, and all Christians, for Jesus' sake, a Merry Christmas. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. God that surpasses all understanding will guard and keep you with Christ. Amen.